Well, you that have been here for a while have heard me talk much of Mexico, much of the Mexican Indian Training Center, much of the believers down there and the churches. And so if I needed any validation, I brought my friends here today so they can witness that these things are true. Pastor Moises was a former student at the Mexican Indian Training Center. He then went to seminary in Mexico City and finished his degree in 1980. Following that, he went back to the Mexican Indian Training Center and became a full-time professor in Bible. And 2 years later, while still teaching there in 1982, God put it on his heart to start evangelizing an area of Corbata, the city that the Mexican Indian Training Center is in. God put that on his heart, and what happened was a small Bible study started. Ultimately, it turned into a church in 1984, Belen Church. And so he continued to teach part-time at the school, even though he has a full-time pastorate at the church. I first met Pastor Moy in 2002 on my first mission trip, occasionally attending his church and having meals with him. But over the last 8 years, we have spent much time together, ministering together in a church that you've heard of, Salandero in Playa Maria. Salandero, just as a side note, is one of seven mission churches that Belen Church has established under his ministry. To get to know somebody, you have to spend a lot of time with them. You have to watch them and listen to them. I've heard him speak from the pulpit. I've seen him engage people one-on-one. He truly has a heart for the gospel, to speak into believers' lives, to comfort them, encourage them, and instruct them, and to call sinners to repentance and faith. Colossians 3 says that whatever we do, in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God, all in the name of Christ. This is the testimony of his character. He would be the first one to tell you that it's all of grace of what God has done in his life. So we're thankful to have him here today. We're also thankful to have his wife, Clarita. She has faithfully served alongside of him for 32 years. They have three beautiful daughters, Belen, Shalom, and Joyce. I've known them since they've been little girls, so they're darling. So without further ado, I'll welcome Hermano. We welcome you to the Truth Pulpit.
Well, I'm sure humbled to be here today. It must be God's grace to have me here, because I don't deserve it. And I thank the Lord for your lives. I have known you through these years. I have met Brother Dane, and we have been praying for you as you have been praying for us in Mexico. And this is the very first time I'm here in this place, but I feel if I have been here for a long time, because we have been united in the ministry, praying for each other. And before I start preaching, I'd like to thank you for your prayers. And I'd like to thank Brother Dane, Logan, and his beautiful wife for holding me in their prayers and for hosting me this week. Thank you very much. And I'm also grateful for all the, not only for prayer, but also for the financial help to start this ministry in Saladero area. That's my hometown area. I'm not from Saladero, but I'm from a village that is just across the river. That's a white river, very close to the river you have nearby. And when we started that work, I remember that we had groceries and we had food for that people. We just had a flooding there. That river flooded the area, all that area. And we just felt that we needed to love on that people. So we use a truck, 15 tons truck, full of food for that people. And part of that was sent through this ministry. So we are grateful to that. Now we have an established church there. I'm leading the work still, leading the work there, but I'm not going to be the pastor to that church because I'm already working for a church in Cordoba that I've been leading for over 32 years. But there is a guy there, his name is Martin. Martin Ricardo, and he is a man full of the Holy Spirit. He loves the Lord, he loves his people, and he loves the Word of God, and he's been learning, and I've been training him to become a full-time pastor. So pretty soon he's going to take over the work there, and I'll be happy, like Paul, going somewhere else to start a new church, maybe in the city of Veracruz. That's a big city. 1.5 million population. So they need a solid, sound doctrinal church in that place. We have many churches there, but they are teaching things that are not in the Word of God, really. So pray for us, please, as we continue serving the Lord in my country. And thank you again for having me here, and I thank the people provided the means for me to come. When I first was invited by Brother Dan, I told him, no way, I can't come see you because my visa needs to be renewed, and I have no papers to come. So I thank you for the help, and I'm just grateful. Thanks, Lord, for that. And I hope I can bring some message of encouragement to you this morning. I have to use my watch because sometimes preachers just forget about timing. I don't want to warn you out, as I do with my church. But I don't know what time, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes? Can you stand that? Okay. Somebody would say, let the Holy Spirit lead, but sometimes we're excited and we forget about the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know? But let the Holy Spirit lead us this morning. Let us come to the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. Acts 14, chapter 14, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. In strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorted them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commend them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perge, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Well, I cast myself upon God's grace to share God's word this morning. I'd like to talk to you about the need of tribulation. And just to hear this title sometimes makes us feel bad, you know, because we don't like to be under tribulation. I'm like that people. I don't like to suffer. And if I ask you, would you like to suffer? I'm sure nobody would say, yes, I would like to suffer. But you don't have to ask for suffering. You don't have to ask for tribulation, because that's going to come. And you need to be prepared to that. We never know when the Lord is going to bring these difficult times in our lives. And when we talk about Paul, and we want to describe his life with one word, I would use the word, I think it is the word tribulation. He was under tribulation. He was proved all the time. You know, he used to be a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, he used to be a very proudful man. His problem was pride, with pride. And the Lord had to work in him through difficulties to make him like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he has been preaching in his first journey with Barnabas. He went to this big island to preach the gospel to the island of Cyprus, and then he preached in two main cities of that place. Then he went into Antioch of Pisidia. Then he would preach in Iconium, and then he would preach in Lystra, where we had him this morning, preaching in Lystra. And then he will move into Derbe, and every place he went to, he would face problems. You know, he was running from one place to another, escaping for his life. And he would face these problems with the Jewish people that didn't like his ministry. He didn't like his preaching, because he was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes to Lystra, he finds this idolatrous city committed to these different gods. And they have a great miracle there, having this paralytic man being healed. And these people's reaction is positive. And they think, well, two men in the form of two gods in the form of men came down to us, and they wanted to worship them. And they called both of them on the names of their gods. And they wanted the priest to this god wanted to offer animals, to sacrifice animals, and they wanted to worship them. You might know this story. And but they rejected that worship. You know, they said the truth. They told them, we are men like you. We are just men. Why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. What courage they had to preach the truth. They don't want to have these people happy, just to have them happy. They wanted them to know the truth. And then things change for them. When they reject their worship, then the things change, and they want to kill them. And verse 19 says, when I started reading this morning, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. It is very interesting, the change of attitude in the people in Lystra. At first they wanted to worship them, and then they wanted to kill them. Now, we don't know how Barnabas escaped from being stoned, but he escaped. But not so with Paul. Maybe because Paul was stoned, was the one to be stoned, because he was the one that had the word. He was the one who was speaking. And he was confused with the god Hermes, who was the voice of the gods, as a servant of the gods, bringing the voice of the gods. And he was stoned. The people that provoked this stoning were the Jewish from Antioch and Iconium, whom in their zeal to do harm to the preaching of a gospel, they worked about 100, over 100 miles to do this harm. And Paul and Barnabas has been expelled from Antioch of Pisidia in Iconium. And from Iconium, they go away, they flee away, and they escape being stoned. But the stones got him, got Paul in Lystra. He can't escape this time, where they believe he was dead and he was abandoned outside of the city, thinking he was dead, in order to be eaten by wild animals and vultures. It was so sad what happened there. But as it is always, God is always taking care of his servants, and he protects his disciples. Paul was able to escape from the stones in Iconium, but not this time, because the Lord considered appropriated for his glory that he would suffer. And we better think seriously about this, because sometimes the Lord is going to bring us, as Paul, through difficulties, and we have to be ready to hear God's voice and see how he wants us to glorify him. I don't know if you have been under persecution for preaching the gospel. I have not been many times in that situation, but I have been there at least twice. I remember one day I was preaching in a place in the city of Mexico, Mexico City, and we were helping people and having services every night for a week. We were starting a new church there, and I remember seeing a man in the entrance to that place where we shared the gospel with people, and I shared the gospel to him with all my heart. And I asked him to repent, and I asked him to commit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He just listened to me. He was not opening himself to me, but he just listened to the gospel. And after that, about 10 minutes later, somebody approached me and asked me, "Do you know what was the person you just shared the gospel with?" I said, "No." He said, "He's a Catholic priest of the church in this place." And then I thought, well, I'm in trouble. Next day, a group of about 50 people with machetes, stones, sticks, they came to us and they said, "You better go away from here or we're going to kill you. We want to burn up this place because we don't want you to be here." Well, There is a sensation you feel like this is the last day of your life, because that people get angry and they can't do what you never thought they could do. They just hate you, and that's the enemy through that people wanted to disappear you from this life. Another time I was visiting one of these small villages in the mountains. It took a long time for us to get there, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember coming across a soccer field place. Suddenly appeared two men on their horses, and suddenly a rifle was pointed at my head and my friend's head. Two men. And they asked, "What are you doing here?" "Oh, sir, we are missionaries. We came here to preach the gospel." And they go, one of them said, "Why don't we just take their money, we shoot them, and go to the mountains?" And I said, "Well, then if you shoot us, you're going to kill two men of God. And you have to face God for that one day." So the other man said, they haven't done it wrong to us, so why are we going to kill him? Why don't we better help him find the person he's looking for? I was looking for the pastor to the church in that place. And after wanted to steal our money and wanted to kill us, the Lord used them to protect them at that time of the day. The Lord is faithful. And if he let you go through difficulties, you can be sure he's going to be with you all the time. And if he wants you to die, and if he wants you to glorify him dying for his cause, you must be ready to that too. But I'm glad that I'm here today to share with you that story, because it really touches my heart just to remember how the Lord takes care of his servants. So how did Paul consider tribulation? He considered tribulation as something that is necessary. It is necessary going through tribulations to come into the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God. He told Timothy that everyone who wants to be piously in this world will suffer persecution. The enemy is going to go after you if you live a holy life, if you live a pious life. If you really want to glorify the Lord on this world, the devil is going to persecute you, and he's going to show his hate some way, all the time. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, that every time we do harm to the kingdom of the devil, we will produce a reaction from him. And if we don't provoke a reaction from the devil, it means that we got united with him. Go out and preach the gospel and you see what will happen. I'll tell you what will happen in Mexico. If you go to these areas where the people really care for Catholicism, in my country, most of the people is Catholic. You can know when a person comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their lives change. They will leave Catholic Church forever. Because you are either Catholic or a Christian. So, when you share the gospel, you can be expelled from one place or you can be killed. So you're ready to share about the Lord, you're going to find some reaction. Well, he is stoned in this city, the city of Lystra. And the people had a sudden change of attitude towards Paul and Barnabas. Let's say yesterday they wanted to worship their new god, Hermes. And the next day they wanted to kill him. That's how people change their minds. So easy. They can love you one day, next day they hate you. And that's the way people is. One day they cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David." Next time they would cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Don't you never trust in man. You better trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be faithful to you all the time. Your best friends can leave you from one day to the other. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord does that for us, for our sake and for his glory. Because we are so committed to our friends. Don't you think that God always is looking on us? And he considers how we are so, we trust all of our problems with our friends. It is not bad to have good friends and dear friends. It is good. You enjoy them as you have them. But the Lord sometimes is going to take them away from you. And because he's a jealous God. And he wants to be number one in your life and not your friends. Well, we have this man suffering for Christ, just sharing his gospel. And as I told you, he was dragged all through the city. And he was left outside of the city to be eaten by the wild animals. Maybe by vultures. Maybe by jackals. But the Lord raised him up. It could be that he didn't die, but it could be he died. I have a theory, and you don't have to believe it. But he said that he was maybe in the spirit one day, one time, and he didn't understand it. Even himself didn't understand it. When he went up to the third heaven, and he saw and he heard things that is not given to man to explain, to understand and explain with words. Maybe he died, maybe he didn't die, but for sure the Lord did a great miracle in his body. What would you do after you being stoned with big stones, hitting your head, breaking your ribs, making you feel so bad, tired, worn out, and with your bones broken? How could you walk the next day more than 60 miles to the next town? You know why? Because the Lord was with him. But there was a great result. The Bible says that in Derby, they had great results. Verse 20 says, "However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples." Yeah. Maybe the Lord is going to break all your bones, but the next day you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit. You are not going to trust in yourself. You're going to be broken. You're going to be humbled by the Lord, and the word of God is going to come out of your mouth with power of the Holy Ghost, and the souls are going to be saved. He suffered, yes. But the Lord prepared him to have these results. You know what happened to preachers when they see results? It is very easy to fall in this problem of selfishness and carnality. Oh, I have been educated in the best seminary and I have such a degree. You know, I have seen so many results preaching the gospel. I don't deserve to see what I have seen preaching the gospel, but I'm sure it is not because of me. When I went out of seminary, I had my When I graduated, I had my title, and I brought it to church, you know. Well, I didn't have a church, but when I started the church, I wanted to sit down on the wall of a church, and we had a bad deacon. I still remember him. He did many wrong things. I won't share with you every wrong thing he did. One of the things he did to me, he disappeared my title. He threw it in the garbage can. And my church didn't get to know all the preparation I had in seminary. Until now, they didn't know. But they have seen the results of God working through this undeserving God's servant. Because he is the one, has to be notable. He is the one, not us. And when God makes sure he's going to receive all the glory, he'll be ready to bless you. He'll be ready to bless your ministry. And he's going to show the results. Oh, I love this phrase. They made many disciples. Many disciples. It is good going under trials. It is good going under tribulations, because that's the way we're going to come into the kingdom of God. There is none other way, brothers. There is none other way. The Lord is going to use broken vessels. That's the way he does things. With so much suffering, Paul experimented the power of God's grace in his life to preach. Because a broken man is more useful in the kingdom of God than the most educated preacher in this world, in the greatest and known seminary. This was the experience of these great preachers in church history. They were broken men. If you were you hear about George Whitefield was a broken man. Jonathan Edwards was a broken man, humble man. You know, he was very attached to David Brainerd. He was one of his best friends. And when David Brainerd came back, he was hosted by Jonathan Edwards. And his daughter, Jerusha, took care of him. He took care of him until he died. And then Jerusha got the same sickness he had. And she died out of that, with that same sickness David Brainerd had. And then in his journey, Jonathan Edwards writes, "We had the privilege to share our daughter, Jerusha, to take care of one of the most wonderful servants of God. And then she died, giving her life for the same cause, the kingdom of God." Don't you think he was a broken man? I think about myself. With my daughters. I have three daughters. And I love the three of them. My wife and I, we love the three of them dearly. Would I dare to share one of my daughters with a man that I know is about to die of a contagious sickness? You need to be a humble man to do that. You need to be a broken vessel to do that. Oh, what about the Spurgeon? He was able to preach without the means we have now to amplify our voice to more than 23,000 souls. And sometimes he would ask his own church to go out to leave the building because he needed new souls to come in to hear the gospel. But the Lord dealt with him too. He had a problem in his body that would make the bravest man to scream out of pain. But even so, he just kept going on preaching the gospel, saving souls. When the winter came, he had to move into France to a hospital to stay for 3-4 months there until weather got better in London, being able to come back to preach. But who can deny he was a man, a broken man, and he was used by the Lord. If you have another idea how we can serve the Lord and have good results and have God working through us, you can share if you want to, but you're going to get to the same point. We need to go through tribulation. We need it, brothers and sisters. Tribulation is used by God to break through that thick shell of carnality we have. He has to break it. He have done it with his servants many times. He have done it with me several times. But I tell you, when he breaks that thick shell of carnality in us, then the fragrance and the odor and the sweet smell of a Holy Spirit pours out through you. And then people can sense the presence of God in you. And now you can share the gospel. Then you can share the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you are tribulated today. Maybe so. There must be a reason for God putting in my heart to share this passage of the scripture with you this morning. Maybe someone of you needed to know that there's not another way. You get courage. It could be the Lord God is preparing you for something, for a work, for a very special work. It might be. The Lord is training you and he's preparing you to receive a great blessing from him. Would you like to be used to save souls? Would you love to have people? Would you like to have more people in here to fill this place until you don't have any more room to fit them in? You need to be prepared. And God is going to prepare you through difficulties. And then you see Paul working in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is he doing? He's saving souls. They made many disciples. He's saving souls. He is encouraging these people, these new disciples. He is exhorting them to continue in the faith. And he's preventing them. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. What different way of approaching people with Paul. Today, if you watch these new modern preachers on TV, they're going to preach a different way. They're going to tell you that if you come to know Jesus, he's going to turn out a Santa Claus to you. He's going to give you all your life and he's going to fulfill all your dreams. That's a preaching centering man. But not in the gospel. It is not in the gospel. It's not the gospel at all. The Lord Jesus Christ said the truth. He said, in this life you will have tribulation. But trust me, I have overcome the world. He said the truth. He never lied to us. Well, you have this wonderful experience here. But people don't want to suffer. You know, one day one of these prophets told Paul, the man owns this belt, is going to suffer this world in Jerusalem. And then even Luke, he was full of concern about Paul, his friend. He was his best friend. He said, oh, Paul, don't you go into Jerusalem because you're going to suffer. And the rest of the brethren asking Paul also, hey, don't you go, Paul. Oh, no, Paul, you're going to suffer if you're going into Jerusalem. And Paul cries out and he says, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? What are you doing? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He knew he couldn't escape from suffering. He knew he couldn't escape from tribulation, but he didn't want to escape. If it was needed for God's glory, that was fine with him. And the question is it fine with us? Would it be fine with us? If the Lord wants us to go through difficulties, would it be fine to us, with us? For the name of the Lord Jesus, he was ready not only to be bound with that belt, as the Gabbos told him. He said, that's nothing just to be bound with that belt. But if they want to kill me, I'm ready to die for Jesus' sake. Would somebody say amen? Oh, in Galatians, just ending up that letter, Paul said, from now on, let no one trouble me. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Can you say that too? Have you been hurt in your body for preaching the gospel? At least have you been scared by somebody just for preaching the gospel? If you don't do it, you'll never be scared. If you don't do harm to the kingdom of the devil, you'll never be persecuted. We need to love Jesus more every day. We are to be ready, if it is needed, to suffer for him. To suffer for him. I remember when they invited me to come into Tesonapa area. We have a growing church there. I'm not the preacher to that church, I told you. I just go start a new place and then leave the elders there and go somewhere else. That's the biblical model we have here. And I remember this guy, he was living in Cordoba, in Florida. He was from Tesonapa, and Tesonapa was known by the high rate of crime at that place. There was a man, his name was Toribio Gargallo. When you heard that name, you say, oh, problems. This guy dug a lot of wells in that area, and he will throw them. He would fill those wells with people's bodies, shoot him, throw them there. So when this guy stood up and said, brothers, I invited you to come over to my town to share the gospel because my family needs to know the gospel. I need to go back to Florida, and I need somebody here to come to my place, to Tesonapa. And I say, yes, here I am, Lord, but send the deacons. I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready. I have my wife. I need to still enjoy her. And I have 3 daughters. And you know, Lord, I need to take care of them. But before we ended up the service, the Lord convinced me, you need to go. Be brave. I'm going to take care of you. So when I got there, I was trembling, shaking, looking everywhere, seeing when Toribio Gargallo is going to show up with his gun and shoot me. Because they took care of that area, really, seriously. I'm telling you, seriously. They would check on new people coming into that area because he had the control there. He would work even for the local government there, doing the duty work for them. And but a week later, Toribio Gargallo was shooted. They filled with holes all of his body. He died. And the fear disappeared. And we had freedom to go into that place. And now we have a man there who really loves the Lord. He's a great pastor, a great preacher. The Lord gave me the gift of preaching this big. He gave him, I'm jealous of him. He gave him, phew. He's such a, I can't believe it. I just shared the gospel to him and his family. And now he is a man full of a Holy Spirit. He knows the word. He preaches the word. He's opening new areas in the mountains now. And he has a growing ministry. Praise the Lord. But the Lord had to deal with me. He had to put me in troubles. And I had to trust him. And I had to go through all of that. And the Lord did his work. He is a wonderful God. He knows how to take care of his servants. And you see, these men, they are led by the Lord to go back to the home church. They go to Antioch of Syria. Go back to the church that commend them to the grace of God. They were praying for them. You know how long they stayed there doing missionary work? 2 years. It is not like some missionaries we have in Cordoba, you know, they go. I invite them from our church, come with me, come and enjoy the place. Brother Dane knows more my people in Saladero than some people from my church, brother. And I invite them, oh no, because I'm gonna be bitten by mosquitoes. Oh, that's a very hot and humid place. Oh, I'm gonna sweat. I'm not ready to sweat. Oh. That's very sad. But this man, so when some new people comes with me and say, hey, do you want to stay longer here? Oh, no. After the first mosquito bite, they want to go back home. Because they don't want to suffer. They don't want to struggle. They don't want to sweat. They want to look pretty and handsome all the time. And when you are in the ministry, you won't have time even to clean your car. You know, people might think, I don't care about being in a very clean car. Or the problem is I don't have time to be just pampering my car and cleaning the windows and look pretty and nice. You need to go. Sometimes we don't have to. Time to dress well as I'm dressed up here. I never used it in my town. I used it for respect for you. But we don't need it. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to be full of Jesus. We need to be full of powers, the Holy Spirit, and preach the gospel. That's what counts. Paul said to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I didn't come in the wisdom of words, but I came shaking, trembling, and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what we need, to be full of the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel. Let those souls know about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we love him. Let's encourage them to love the same Savior. But you need to be broken. And the only way is going through tribulation. You know how they came back home? Like two war heroes. I could maybe fix another sermon, you know, naming, having the title, a new title. To welcome in two war heroes. They were war heroes for 2 years. And that was not going to be the last trip, the last journey. They would go back two more times. And the fourth time, he would face the sea with those problems going into Rome. Maybe to stay there and die there under Nero, beheading his head. The day of his crowning, the day of Paul's crowning, he was beheaded. And he glorified the Lord Jesus Christ that way. And if the Lord wanted him to glorify him that way, that was right. Everything is right with God. If he wants you to die preaching the gospel, he's going to give you the grace to die. That was the experience of these God's heroes. Polycarpus. He blessed the flames that would take him to heaven. And he was worshiping the Lord and singing to the Lord when he was killed by being loyal to the Lord that for 84 years had never failed him, serving him, and he was ready. Story says that he seemed that he did never feel the burning of the flames. And the Lord gives us from his grace for anything he wants us to go through, he's going to give us enough grace. Now they come home, and what a joy when they came home. I can't imagine people asking him, "Hey, Paul, tell us about Cyprus. Tell us about that city. Tell us about that main man in that island that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you share the gospel to him? Tell us about Antioch of Pisidia. Tell us about Iconium. Tell us about Derbe. What happened to you? Did you really die?" That's a question I have for him when I go to heaven. "Hey, Paul, did you die that time? Did the Lord resurrect you that day? Why did you come into the city of Derbe again, of Lystra again? Why did you come into that city again if they wanted to kill you there first time?" Oh, what a joy when we see this great man of God. What a joy for this church having these two missionaries bringing such a wonderful testimony of God's grace. Well, tribulation, it brings great results, and there is not another way. And if you are tribulated today, if you're going through trials, troubles, problems, just bless the Lord. Just ask him to show you what he wants from you and tell him that you are ready to glorify him any way he wants you to do it. God bless you. God bless you.